plays automatically.
Blog Talk Radio.
Radio page. Welcome to Banner 18, your weekly Boston Celtics podcast, which is part of the NBA network, The Bounce. I'm Javier Romero, and right next to me is my roommate and friend here at Syracuse University, Connor Peterson. Welcome, sir.
How's it going, everyone?
So, third show, we have a lot to talk about. We're very excited, as always, to talk with you guys. We got a lot coming on. Isaiah Thomas, Boston Celtics. We've got our weekly, of course, sports roundup. Kevin Durant versus Russell Westbrook. The Warriors struggling versus the Lakers. And we have an update from the Celtics, who just lost to Denver Nuggets. A horrendous game. We'll talk about it later. But let's get right to it. And Connor will give us the sports roundup.
So, obviously, this past week, the biggest sporting event I got to talk about, Wednesday night, Cubs beat the Indians 8-7 in extra innings to end a city's 108-year World Series title drought. It was obviously the biggest event in sports all weekend. So I'm just going to give you guys a quick little roundup. The Cubs were leading 6-3 going into the bottom of the eighth inning when Davis hit a homer off of Aroldis Chapman to tie the game at 6-6. It was a two-run homer. Now, there was a lot of controversy going on because Chapman, he had played a lot in Game 6 and 5, so he was coming into Game 7. He was real tired already, and he wasn't hitting his fastball. When you have that 102-mile-an-hour fastball in the chamber and you can't throw it, you start going to your sliders. You know mistakes are going to happen. Davis took advantage of it. And when he hit that home run to tie it 6-6, I thought I could hear the entire city of Chicago going, just, oh, no, we aren't meant to even win this World Series. They went into the bottom of the ninth, game still tied, 6-6. They get him out, goes to extra innings, but we have a 17-minute rain delay. This game was just never going to end. It was 1 o'clock in the morning at this point. Cubs come out of the rain delay, and they score twice in the top of the 10th. Indians then rally. They have one run, but it just was not enough. The Cubs ended up winning 8-7 in 10 innings, ending the 108-year title drought. And as we talked about in episode one of the show, the LeBron-D-Wade bet that was going on, LeBron James now has to wear Cubs uniform when he goes in there in December.
Also, now, Cavs players getting hyped, right?
Yes, J.R. Smith took off his shirt in the eighth inning, and the Indians rallied. So now moving on to college football. There was some big news on Tuesday. The College Football Playoff Committee unveiled their first rankings, and there was a lot to talk about. So let me run through it with you real quick. Obviously, no surprise, Alabama came out number one, Clemson number two, and Michigan number three. Everyone expected that. Now, this is where the committee really started to shake things up. They had one loss, Texas A&M, ahead of undefeated Washington, which was just a real shocker. There was a lot of controversy going around. Does the College Football Playoff Committee favor the SEC and the Big Ten? Do they even watch Pac-12 games? They had Ohio State number six, Louisville number seven, Wisconsin eight, Auburn nine, and Nebraska 10. And the big shocker was they had Penn State at number 12, a team with two losses ahead of quite a few one-loss teams. And we were going back through the rankings, seeing teams from 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way down, that I personally think could beat Penn State, a Utah, a West Virginia, all those teams I think could have beaten Penn State. But of course, we had a crazy weekend in college football, and Texas A&M lost to Mississippi State. So the latest AP poll, this is the AP poll, not the college football playoff poll. That'll be unveiled on Tuesday, Election Day. Go vote. We have Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, Washington moves up to number 4, Louisville leapfrogs Ohio State at number 5, Ohio State comes in at number 6, Wisconsin at 7, Auburn 8, Oklahoma 9, and Texas A&M drops all the way down to 10, and that team I mentioned that could beat Penn State earlier, Utah, moves all the way up right behind number 12 Penn State to number 13. Just a quick shout-out to Syracuse University going into Death Valley against Clemson. Quarterback Eric Dungy was out of the game in the first half with some kind of head, neck, shoulder injury. We wish him the best. Unfortunately, Syracuse lost a dismal 54-0 game. And Ohio State tied the second-highest margin of victory with a walloping of Nebraska. And it was the second-highest margin of victory against the top-10 team. Now moving to the NFL, it was a bye week for all you Patriots fans. So nothing really to look forward to today. Next week, we do have a matchup against the Seattle Seahawks, which should be good. The only really notable thing right now this week in the NFL, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, two rookie sensations on the Cowboys, absolutely walloped the Browns 35-10. Prescott put up 3 TDs, and Elliott had 2 TDs. Now, moving on, we got new contract with Ronaldo.
Yeah.
That'll extend him through the 2021 season.
Yeah.
5 more years in Real Madrid.
My boy getting paid. I mean, to be honest, he's not performing at his best level this season, not scoring a lot of goals. But I think he's still the front runner for FIFA Ballon d'Or after winning the Euro Championship.
Messi.
Just ignore him. And, but yeah, let's see how he should stay at Real Madrid till he's 36, according to his contract. If they don't trade him, it's gonna be interesting to see how he adapts his game, physically, and maybe he has to be a little more generous to let Gareth Bale be the main star in the upcoming years. But we'll see how that works. Ronaldo will get paid $547,000 a week.
That's absurd.
Net salary.
That
so
makes me want to cry.
And yeah, just insane. And moving on to NBA news, we had Warriors Thunder rematch.
It was quite the week in the NBA. The week.
On Thursday, it already felt like playoffs, to be honest. Russell Westbrook wearing that official photographer vest, which I said he was going to wear something related to Durant. Such a savage, Westbrook. And
for those of you who don't understand, KD has said, I think he's tweeted it a couple of times, besides basketball, one of his true passions is photography. He loves to take pictures. So Russell Westbrook, being the absolute savage master that he is, showed up to the game wearing an orange, like, bib that said official photographer on it.
Yeah. Durant also was a photographer for Sports Illustrated, the Super Bowl. So, yeah, he's known for being a photo fan. And moving on, so to the game, a blowout by the Warriors. Durant not scared by Westbrook's vest at all. 39 points. Westbrook was pretty quiet, only 20 points, 4 for 15 off the field. But he said after the game, we'll see them again. The Warriors, he said, are talking a lot of trash, and we'll see them again. But the Thunder, though, they're leading Western Conference right now. So they're still winning.
Just a quick note about that game. Did you see when KD was jarring with his old teammate on Oklahoma? On the side there, the one guy who was sitting on the bench. Did you see what you see what he actually said?
Yeah, he said Westbrook is the team leader.
No. I saw something that said he was yelling at KD. He was like, "Why didn't you do this in the playoffs?" And I just thought that was great.
Yeah,
throwing a little shade KD's way.
Yeah, Cantor always a savage too. But KD then got the best of him on the court, which is where it really matters.
Steph Curry, though, 157 games, streak ended. No threes.
Yeah, we were rooting for the Thunder in this game. We hate the Warriors personally here, but we were sad because of Curry's streak being over.
No, wait. I'm sorry. That's the Lakers game. The next game, his streak ended.
Yeah.
Not the Thunder game. My bad.
Yeah. Anyway, we were rooting for the Lakers too, and we were sad that Curry's streak ended because that was epic, and he actually showed he was human. 0 for 10. That just happens to shooters. Some games you just can't figure it out, and the Warriors were off that night. Their defense doesn't look as good as last season. Their offense is, you know, when they want to roll, they just roll. They just give the ball to any of those four guys, Curry, Thompson, Durant, or Draymond Green. But they're not as deep. I don't see them being, or at least playing as good as well as last year. Maybe they'll, you know, they should make the finals. There's not really competition for them in the Western Conference, other than the Spurs, who lost to the Jazz and look to still be figuring things out. But they should obviously make the finals, and so should Cleveland.
When the Warriors are cooking, they're up there. They're obviously, if not number one, one of the best teams in the league when they're cooking on all cylinders. But the Warriors this season have shown some vulnerability. If you like, last year they went on that crazy streak to open the season, best regular season record of all time. And I know they say, you know, we're not trying as hard in the regular season this year because we don't want a repeat of last year. It's all about the title this year. But people have started – the Lakers, for instance, I don't know if it was just an off night for the Warriors coming off that game the night before against the Thunder, but they have looked vulnerable at times this year. And as you were saying, I don't know if it's a matter of their depth or, like, what it is, but they can either be at the very best or they can be an average team.
Yeah, especially their front court defense. They lost Bogut, Zili. They lost a lot of rim protectors. They have Pachulia, which is a talented passer but not really a defensive player, and the rookie Kevon Looney. But they don't have as much power on their front court. Last year, Zili and Bogut were really big for them, giving them second chance points and rim protection. So the Warriors still figuring things out. I mean, we knew this was going to happen. You're adding one of the biggest superstars in the NBA and Kevin Durant, and losing a lot of players, a lot of rotation, but important players, some stars even as Harrison Barnes. Then you have Leandro Barbosa, as we said, Andrew Bogut, Festus Ezeli. So a lot of their important players who gave them that depth this year, I don't think they're as deep as last year.
And now it is early in the season, so part of me that's scared of this is, I don't know if they're just working out kinks with Kevin Durant, just trying to figure out where to use him in the lineup, or if this will be a recurring theme throughout the year. But if it's just a get to know you kind of thing, like how the playing styles, and they start clicking late in the season, this could be a scary team to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they'll be fine. I mean, by
I'm not saying they're not gonna make the finals or anything like that.
No, yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, yeah. once they start playing and they are a few more games into the season, they'll be the team that everybody fears. Now moving on to the Boston Celtics, who won on Tuesday against the Bulls. But that was a good game, but we had an injury on Jay Crowder, who twisted his ankle in the second quarter. Also, Al Horford in practice on Tuesday put into concussion protocol after he got hit in practice. Win over the Bulls, then Wednesday back-to-back game against the Cavs in Cleveland. We predicted that a win for the Cavs, obviously. But it was a close game. The Celtics battled through, and I think they did a good job.
They represented well.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown, first career start, as we said, Jay Crowder being out. 19 points and respect from LeBron James, who guarded him. And they were talking before the game, and Jaylen Brown had a couple nice plays on LeBron. I think he's going to be – Jaylen Brown, a young prospect. He might be one of the most talented rookies in this class. Obviously, number three. But not only is he talented, but he's already showing.
He's not one of those talents that takes a little while to develop.
Yeah, exactly. Like we could say like Brandon Ingram, who's, I think it's taking a little more time to adapt to the Lakers, but he's NBA ready and he's showing that. And he showed that on Wednesday against the Cavs. And the game we were talking about against the Nuggets, which ended about an hour ago, Celtics allowed 77 points at halftime.
Oh my God.
Their second worst in history. Do you know what's the most they've allowed in history?
No.
80 points against guess who? Syracuse Nationals in 1953.
What team is that? Was that an NBA team?
It apparently was.
Shout out to Syracuse.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Syracuse Nationals. That just gives you an idea of how poor defense was.
That's 3-1-5.
And even though we didn't have, as we said, Crowder or Horford, our defense was just horrendous. Emmanuel Mudiay killed us with 24 points in the first quarter. 42 points from the Nuggets that first quarter. Celtics are now 3-3, and Brad Stevens, head coach, giving a little warning to the more usual players after the game, saying we have some players who are not playing who will. So heads up, because new guys might be coming to
a little roster shakeup.
Yeah,
right there.
We need intensity right now, and that's what Celtics lacked in this game, which was just, I mean, Nuggets were just hitting from everywhere, but the Celtics defense was so horrendous.
Javier and I, we were sitting in the dining hall tonight, and we brought up the game on his phone, and they were down by 20 in the first half, and we couldn't believe it because both of us predicted a victory against the Nuggets last week.
Yeah, Nuggets don't really have Fareed is not the manimal anymore. They don't have a true star, maybe Mudiay. They brought in Jamal Murray from Kentucky, number 7 in this year's draft, who was 0-16 in his first 16 attempts playing in the NBA. And
oh my goodness.
Yeah, not really a team who should beat us if we want to be top in the East. But I mean, it's still early in the season. We're already 3-3, which I think it's kind of scary, but I think we'll be fine.
Celtics are just one spot behind Toronto, so
yeah.
I mean, you're sitting pretty right there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with the East is that it's pretty weak. So, and honestly, all teams are kind of struggling. We don't have like a dominant team other than the Cavs, which are still undefeated. Like we had last year, we had the Warriors, we had the Spurs, the Cavs. This year, pretty much the Cavs only. And
the latest NBA power rankings, granted they're a week old and they should be coming out with new ones, has the Celtics still sitting at 6.
Yeah.
So, so pretty good.
Yeah, they should keep in mind the injuries we had.
Exactly. Once everyone gets back in the rotation,
yeah,
Crowder, Horford,
two of our main guys. But anyway, that's not an excuse for losing to Denver by a margin of nearly 20 points.
City of Denver has had a pretty good day. Granted, they beat the Celtics, their basketball team, and I know most don't care, but MLS, Colorado, beat LA to advance to the Western Conference Finals in the MLS Cup. However, the only bad thing Denver has going for it right now is the Broncos are currently losing 23-13, 6:30 to go in the fourth. So, can't win it all.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a good day for the people of Denver.
Yeah.
So, as you guys saw in the description of the episode, we got to talk about this story about Isaiah Thomas. We thought it was really cool that this guy sneaked into a train station to see an ad, Nike campaign on himself. So Nike, to give you a little bit of background, is in a campaign called Come Out of Nowhere. We've all seen LeBron James in the commercial with that.
One of the best commercials out there right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Just saying how that block over Iguodala was the defining moment of his career. Come out of nowhere. You're not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
That little kid slapping the...
Exactly. That kid's my favorite. You got this, like, 4-foot kid going up against a 6-foot guy.
Yeah.
He just smacks that ball down.
Also,
so much heart.
That little girl scoring over 4 guys. It's just a great commercial. And so this campaign, they're doing it. LeBron James is obviously the main star. They also have Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Paul George, DeMar DeRozan, Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson, and Isaiah Thomas with their own posters and banners all over the cities. And Isaiah Thomas obviously realized there were signs of him all around Boston. He had his wife, Kayla, take pictures of the posters, some of his posters at North Station, which is right beneath TD Garden. But the people in Boston tweeted at him and said he had to check out South Station, which had the biggest display of Isaiah Thomas banners. So these banners said, "Pick me last again." Keep in mind that Isaiah Thomas was selected last in the 2011 NBA draft, 60th, to the Sacramento Kings. So it says, "Pick me last again." So Thomas, after a late-night dinner, the article by ESPN says, with his wife, apparently a door was open in the station, and they sneaked in, and there were workers there who told him, you know, you can't be here, you can't be doing this here. But they were also kind of wanted to take pictures with him. And so.
Of course. Are you kidding me? If I was a worker at that station, I would roll out the red carpet. I'd be like, come right in, Mr. Thomas.
Yeah, it said workers were saying, we never get to take pictures with the people we're putting up.
Yeah.
And Thomas said, you know, I know you got to do your work, but I'm taking these pictures. And he had his wife take pictures of him. We've posted that article on our Twitter page. You can take a look at it.
At Banner18.
Yeah, at Banner18 Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. Also, the story by ESPN is headlined by a video by Zach Lowe, which describes pretty much how Thomas plays and the odds he's defying. The video starts with Lowe saying, "Here are the odds against Isaiah Thomas. In the 70-year history of the NBA, only 9 guys 5'9 or shorter have played 1,000 minutes in a season. Just 9. And Thomas is an all-star. Thomas might have the deepest bag of moves in the entire league. Good thing, because little guys need extra creativity to survive among the trees."
My goodness.
Yeah, he's just a great player, 27 years old, entering his prime, leading the Celtics. Just one of those players you don't see very often.
Literally can't see because he's so short.
Yeah, and I can relate to him because, you know, we short people who play basketball, obviously different level. But it's tough to make it through the lane, especially Thomas, who, I mean, he's a deadly shooter too, but his marquee move is getting to the rim and just hesitations and floaters.
Yeah. So moving on to predictions now.
Yeah. Sure. So we have the
this upcoming week
we have the Wizards away. Then we get back home to face the Knicks. And finally, the Pacers away, too. I'm predicting an optimistic 3-0. I think we should, you know, with this Brad Stevens warning, I think we should start to play better. And obviously, Crowder and Horford, they're expected to be back for this week's games. Maybe Crowder will take a little longer. But I think we should win those 3 games. Maybe the toughest one, the one against the Pacers away. But
I was gonna agree with you again for the second week, and I was gonna say a win at Washington, win at home against the Knicks, and a win in Indiana. Now that I'm looking at the schedule, it's a back-to-back game, Friday, Saturday night. Got that away feel. I know the Celtics are – I believe the Celtics are the better team. I think they should win this game, but you really never know in the NBA, as is evident with the Lakers' win over the Warriors. So I'm going to say it's a win at Washington, win at home against the Knicks, and then a loss on the road against Indiana. Paul George bursts out. He's going to bust out some MVP numbers that night. And I think it will be a close game. I'm even going to predict the score. I'm going to say 105-101.
Okay.
105-101, exactly. Indiana over the Celtics.
Okay, so we have my 3-0, his 2-1. Stay tuned. Remember, he's leading. I lost the bet, I guess, the first week of Charlotte. I predicted to win. We lost. I hope that doesn't happen this week. But, yeah, stay tuned on our predictions, on our show in general. Remember, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Banner18Podcast. Thank you so much, guys, for listening, as always. Connor.
Yep, have a nice night, ladies and gentlemen. See you next week.
Thank you so much. Embrace the night and have a great, great week. Thank you so much for listening.